Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I have written 4 books, but the latest book is Unlimited Possibilities, Walking in Purpose. And we're celebrating our 7th year of our Soul Retreat 2013, which will be held September 13th and 14th. You can find that information on my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. It is a 2-day event. It's going to be held at the Marriott on the Beach in Fort Lauderdale. And I have special guest Daniel Knox, who is the TV personality on Lifetime called Ballison the Act. And then Dr. Clarence Granich. I have Dee Thompson, motivational speaker, Alan McDougall, author, life coach, and Melba Spears, singer, author. I have a fashion show that will be done that first night. We have our signature rap session where we have the men and women will be separated, and we'll get down to the real nitty-gritty, pull back the covers and see what's going on in individuals' lives and hopefully come to a solution. And, of course, we wrap it up with our 70s party. So those of you who've never had the opportunity to be at a retreat hosted by the Soul of a Woman, you don't want to miss this event. I have my co-host with me, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. I am an entrepreneur and an author myself. Thank you for joining us tonight. Visit my website at ShirleyMCarter.com.
Thank you so much, Shirley. So much has been going on in our communities. I tell you, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about Trayvon Martin and the Zimmerman trial, and last week we had the opportunity to open up the line so that our audience can speak. Because one thing about Hot Topics from the Soul is we want this to be a platform where individuals can voice their opinion. When I started Hot Topics from the Soul 4 years ago, I started it because 3 young men had more courage to take their lives than to live in. And I said, you know, I wanted to do something so that individuals could be able to say what's going on anonymously. And also we talk about social issues, life issues, finances, relationships. We do new authors. Shirley, you're a new author. Of course, I've written 4 books, and I've had several authors on the show. And tonight I have a young man, Shawin Watson, and he just released a book called Kissing Your Heartache Goodbye. Shawin, are you there?
I'm right here. Thank you for having me.
Well, I tell you what, when I saw your book and did some excerpts from it, I was like, okay, we're going to change the platform a little bit. We're going to talk. It's going to be a diverse show tonight. But tell me, what prompted you to write Kissing Your Heartache Goodbye?
Well, I've always wanted to be a motivational speaker. And I started speaking in 2009 doing YouTube videos. And I was doing that, and I was enjoying it, but I knew, based on the people that I was talking to, the mentors that I had, I was told that in order for me to speak at a high level, I'm going to need to develop some sort of product, because when you write a book, you're pretty much considered an expert in that particular area. And so I started putting in my mind, okay, I'm going to write a book. The problem is I just didn't know when I was going to actually write the book. And you know, then in 2011, I had a relationship that was going really nicely. It was going perfect, and then all of a sudden, things changed. You know, the relationship it wasn't the same relationship that I remember it being. It was like it was like it changed overnight, and just going through that, I could tell you that I didn't know how to forgive. You know, I had lost my self-worth. You know, I wanted to die mentally. That's how bad and embarrassed I felt. I was ashamed of myself. I was ashamed of the situation. And I was one of those people that kept on asking myself, why me? Because I come from a history of rejection, and I come from a history of being used because I was always that nice guy. And I felt like this was a relationship that I had been waiting for because of my perseverance and persistence. And so when I found that this relationship didn't pan out, it was a lot of things that went through my mind. You know, I was asking myself, you know, should I date anymore? You know, I know I want to be married, but do I got to continue dealing with this? I mean, how much more can someone actually take? And so, you know, I went through this. I remember her telling me that, you know, her ex-boyfriend was back in town because he had moved. And she said, you know, it was nice. I enjoyed the time that we spent together, our relationship. But, you know, he's back in town. I'm really in love with him. He's in love with me. And, you know, can we be friends? And I really didn't know how to really take that because I was really starting to fall for her, you know. And it really didn't hit me till I got home because I was at work when she told me the news and she told me what happened. And I can tell you that when I got home, I got on my knees. And I just felt weak. I've never felt this weak in my life before. You know, I was frustrated. I was angry. I had so many emotions going through my body. And I just remember just thinking, okay, I've been going to my friends. They've been telling me this advice is not working. I got to do something different. I can't keep doing the same thing. And so, you know, I said to myself, I need to go back to something that I was doing before. And I was having my relationship with God, because in the beginning of that relationship, God was first in that relationship. But as the relationship went on, God started to move further and further down. Pretty soon, God wasn't even in the relationship. And so that night was a night I can remember now, because that was the night that I rekindled my relationship with God. You know, I had gotten away from him, and I started to rebuild that relationship that night. And just praying to him and letting him know, you know, God, I don't know what to do. Even though she's gone, I feel like there's still a chance. I feel like there's still a chance. I'm telling him this, you know, and asking him to just fix this relationship. And, you know, God answers all of our questions. They may not be in the way that we ask it. It may not be what we want, but he answered that question. Because I remember waking up that after that prayer, I went to sleep, and I ended up waking up that next morning, and I just felt something across my body that I never felt in my life before. I mean, I'm not sure what kind of experience you would actually describe it to be, but it was just an amazing experience. And I just remember just getting, feel like I actually got the answer in my body. And it was just more about me thinking of others instead of myself. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, if you help people in their relationships, I'm going to help you later in your relationship. And it was all about season, you know. She was good in my life for a season, but you know, she wasn't going to be there for the long haul, and that was really tough for me to actually swallow. So that's how, you know, this book really developed. And you know, one of the things that I do talk about in the book, now that I'm talking about my testimony, is that say that it took a nightmare for me to learn how to forgive. You know, I actually had a dream about her one night, and I don't know how it came, but maybe this was my sign of forgiveness. But it was a dream of her, you know, she was raped in my dream. And she came to me, hair all messed up, crying, and she came up to me and she hugged me. And when she hugged me, I couldn't resist, because I was thinking, yeah, I was trying to hate her, yeah, I was trying to, you know, stay away from her, but she needed my friendship. And when I had that dream, that dream just turned my whole mentality all around, and that is what really transformed me, and that really delivered me from my unforgiveness. So that's how the book was developed.
Okay, so I've had a few people that join in, and I am talking with Shawan Watson. He wrote the book Kissing Your Heartache Goodbye. Now, you said that what prompted your writing the book was the fact that this girl walked out of your life. She reconnected with her ex-boyfriend. How long had y'all dated?
Well, we dated for about, you know, about four, maybe about 5 months. But I felt this connection with her. I mean, in my past, I had never really had this connection like I had with her, as far as the communication. That was a big thing with me, communication. not just me calling, not just me texting, but you're calling me, I'm calling you. It's going both ways instead of just one-sided. And then just the way of her caring for me and complimenting me and all these different things that I wasn't accustomed to is really what attracted me.
And in about 5 months, all of this materialized, and when she walked away, it almost cost you to just give it all up, just lose it all.
It did, because
it prompted in your mind to just like give it all in, throw in the hat, the towel on relationships and even your life.
Well, not my life in the sense of, you know, taking it, but more just, thinking of giving up, possibly on relationships, because I felt like, I had been in a lot of different relationships, and, I knew what I wanted at the time, and I just felt like it wasn't happening. And at the time, I really didn't know what to really do, but I know that, looking back at that experience, I can say that was the experience that really positioned me into my purpose.
Okay. All right. Now, the reason why I asked you that question specifically was because in the news, we often see where domestic violence, my foundation, The Soul of a Woman, serves domestic violence. And a lot of times the violence comes because of, relationships going south where they control, the manipulation, or someone wants to leave the relationship and they'd rather take that life of that individual than have them walk out on them. So the reason why, that's why I was asking you, how long had you been in that relationship? Because a lot of times, people assume that when things go south in a relationship, and sometimes where it ends up to be deadly, that it's a long-term relationship, over a year, 2 or 3 years that this happens. But, you being a young man and being devastated after 5 months with being with an individual, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, but it wasn't anything, those things. And I've seen those situations before. For me, it was just more about, just being more to myself. At the time, I was more of a loner than anything. There wasn't anything, those things going through my mind. It was just more thinking about myself. Do I really want to date anymore? Do I really want to, am I still willing to, date until I find that wife?
Mm-hmm. Now, Shirley, your book that deals with relationships as well, do you see any parallel with Shawan's book versus what you've written in your books as for what happened with what he went through?
What I see is, when he said that was what he used the foundation for writing his book, but what I see is the communication part. Shawan, when you talked about how she told you at work that someone else had came into her life, in my book I talk about communicating, how important it is.
What's the name of your book, Shirley?
Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man. And what Shawan did, talked about his feeling coming from the soul, and in my book I talk about how a man loved different than a woman. A man loved from the soul, and when his soul is broken down, it is not easy to pick it back up and pick up the pieces and move on. And Shawan, you just talked about that in your feelings, how when a man loves and when he loves from his soul, he gives his all into it. It doesn't matter if it's a month, 2 months, or 5 years. When you come from that area in your body, in that soul, and you've given your soul to her, and then for her to, walk out or crush it, it's not that easy to pick it up. But one of the things I talk about in my book is that the communication, you've got to communicate. And when I say communicate to a different level, I'm talking about if that person is not feeling you, there are certain things they're not going to say. There are certain things they will say in a certain way, but you need to listen very carefully. They may say one thing but act a different way. So example, what I want to say that is that you talked about how you talked all the time and how this was someone that they reached a very special place in your life, because the fact is you talked about rejection. Have you been rejected so many times, and you came from a place of rejection? See, when I hear someone say, I came from a place of rejection, that means you have gotten comfortable with rejection. And then for someone to open up and not reject you, then you begin to let all your guards down and you begin to open up to them and begin to share your innermost fears and feeling with them. And then to be rejected again, that's a hard hit, a very hard hit. And when I hear you talk about 5 months into the relationship, but you felt like it was building and building into a solid foundation, and then to have the rug pulled out and say, well, my old boyfriend came back in and I'm still in love with him. I feel that this is a typical situation where you may have been a rebound relationship for her, and she needed comfort at that moment, but was still in love with someone else. And no matter what that person did or went out and did the last 5 months that she was with you, it didn't matter. She still wanted to try to make it work with him. But instead, you know, she crushed your heart in the process. So I talk about, you know, how man and woman in these different relationship situations, how do you come overcome it? And you did something very good by writing a book about your experience and forgiving, because that's the first thing you need to do before you can move into another relationship, is to forgive, let go, and learn to love yourself. Where are you now? Are you in another relationship or are you alone?
Well, right now I'm just kind of sitting back right now and really just focusing on my gift that God has blessed me with, and you know, He's opening a lot of doors for me. So I'm really just concentrating on that. You know, I'm delivered. You know, my confidence is at its highest level that it's ever been. I'm excited. I have no regrets over that, because like I mentioned earlier, that I think if that experience had never happened, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. You know, I wouldn't.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't have done any of the things that are happening right now. I wouldn't be helping the people. I wouldn't be connecting with the people that I'm connecting with right now. So I'm just, you know, even though it was an obstacle, I really appreciate the obstacle in a sense, looking back, because I guess I needed that to position me into my purpose, because I kind of was one of those type of guys where I put off my purpose for a while. You know, I didn't really take it seriously. I did it more as a hobby. You know, I really wasn't doing it at the level I should have been doing it. And now I'm able to use that experience and really use it to help other people. And I'm not ashamed about giving the testimony, because I know it's going to help someone else out there who may struggle with forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that I like the fact that you're a young man and you didn't allow that to stop you, and you turned that mess into a message, because you said you always wanted to do motivational speaking, you always wanted to speak. Well, you didn't really have a niche or something to speak from, and now you've created a platform because of this individual, and I hope that doesn't hinder you or block you from, I know you said you're healed and everything, but I really hope it doesn't hinder you from sharing your heart with someone else. I was speaking with my son yesterday. He came down and visited me, and we were talking about relationships and things, and he said to me, he says, you know, Mom, a lot of women think that I'm selfish. And he says, you know, I told him, well, yeah, I guess I am to a certain extent, a certain degree. He said, because there's times where he just wants his me time, and he said he's okay going out and, you know, sharing time with a female and stuff, but when they want it all the time, every weekend, and he said he's spending $200-$300 a weekend, and then he said it just becomes like a what do you call the word he said? I forgot the word he said, but he said that the person was being benefited and he wasn't. He was just getting broke. And I said to him, I said, well, son, I said, I believe that you will feel a whole lot differently once you fall in love with that individual. I said, if you really love that person, then what you spend on them is not a problem. Then you wanting to spend more time with them every day or through the day, calling and texting won't be a problem. What would you do you agree with that, Shawana? Do you have some insight on that, being that y'all kind of be about the same age bracket?
Well, I mean, I do agree with that, and you know, to answer your other question that you asked before, I'm actually I feel the same way that I did previously before anything happened. You know, I still desire to be married. You know, that hasn't changed. And you did mention that, yeah, if you're in love with someone, money doesn't matter, and that's why one of the things that, you know, drive me every day really is being a strong provider for my family and being a big giver in the community. You know, so that's those are two things that really drive me and inspire me to do what it is that I'm blessed to do right now, even when some days are tougher than others.
What are some of the signs that you saw but yet ignored in the relationship?
Well, the funny thing is that I felt all alone, like something was wrong, but I wasn't 100% sure. But the signs were that the communication was different. You know, she wasn't looking at me in the eye. Normally, we always have a smile. The way she held my hand was different. You know, she used to kind of hold it really tight. That hand-holding, the way she held my hand, it was loose now. It wasn't tight anymore. The texts went really long. It used to be really long. Then it became very short and brief, almost like a closed-ended question. You know, like, yes, okay, no. Really, really, really brief. And just no, not very much conversation. You know, she wasn't a person who was easily able to open up on the regular basis, but she did used to talk a lot more. But what I noticed is that during that time, during that struggling period, you know, she wasn't really opening up at all. She was telling me that everything was okay, and I started to believe that everything wasn't okay, you know. And what I was doing to get her to open up, I would bribe her to get her to open up.
Bribe
because
her
I really
how?
Wanted to know what's going on. And so I would take her out. I would, you know, we'd go out to dinner. You know, what you know, how is everything? You know, is everything okay? You know, and I continue to keep asking her, is everything okay? But I knew in my mind that something wasn't right. But there was a part of me saying, maybe it's a personal thing. Maybe it's something going on at home. And so I wasn't really quite sure. And so that's when I was going around asking, you know, friends and mentors, you know, for advice, you know. But I, at the end of the day, I just had to really just pray to my God and you know, allow Him to take care of it.
Okay. But I noticed, yeah, when you said you noticed different things that started to happen, the eye contact and the communication. So you were aware that something wasn't right, and that's a good point. Because you start picking up on the lack of communication or the form of communication, how it changed. And that's something that a lot of people ignore, those signs. And because they are signs, a person will give you a sign when there's a change of focus in the relationship, when there's a change in heart, when there's a change that's about to take place.
I totally agree with that. You know, and that's a very important. That's when they had a book. I think it was a book that somebody was talking about, and it said body language means a lot, because
yeah.
a lot you can tell a lot about somebody based on their body language, and a lot of times you can just tell if someone's not comfortable. You know, if they're not looking at you in your eye when they're talking to you, they're looking away.
Mm-hmm.
It showed a little bit of disinterest, you know, during that time when we'd actually spend time together. And so, yeah, they are not.
A young man that is, you know, looking to get into a relationship, or the way they know this young lady and they want to approach him but not sure, afraid of rejection, what advice would you give?
Well, first of all, I would definitely make sure that you know what it is that you want, because one of the biggest things when it comes to getting hurt are two people wanting different things. And that's something
wow.
that I noticed.
That's
experience.
Powerful.
No, because you have one person wanting friends with benefits, but you got another person wanting a long-term relationship. And that person with friends with benefits, they're going to make you think that they want the same thing you do, just because they want something that you have.
Mm.
They're using you. And then at the end, you're the one. Because they're going to be able to move on quickly, because they didn't really want you for the long term. I mean, they didn't really want you for the long term anyway. They just want you for a short time. They didn't want you for the long haul. And so figure out what it is that you want. It's important to plan. You know, get a plan of what you want. And another thing, too, I say is that, you know, a lot of times we allow fear to hinder us and to discontrol us. And you have to really ask yourself something. You know, you've been hurt a lot. You may have been hurt a lot. You may have been rejected a lot. But what is it that you really want? Do you really want to get married? Do you really see yourself in a long-term relationship? Because if you do, you're going to have to be willing to take that risk. Because one of the powerful quotes that I said a while back, which I truly believe, is that, you know, regret weighs more than risk. And what that's saying is that the action you don't take is really the action that's going to hurt you, or could hurt you.
Hmm.
Because
wow.
you're always going to have a question mark. And so,
wow, that was powerful.
Just thinking about that. And then, too, you know, I'm very big when it comes to speaking into existence. I mean, I think that's something that a lot of people really don't do, because we are so designed to have to see everything physically. But what I've learned is that in success comes sowing of seeds. And by sowing of seeds, you have to start by, it's about what you are speaking and who you are spending the most time around, your company. That has a lot to do with our mentality and our mindsets. And so if we change our company around just a little bit, you know, if we're trying to go in a different direction, you know what, you know, this guy, if he wants to get in this relationship but he's afraid of rejection, he may need to look at, you know, the influences that are talking to him. You know, they may actually be telling him, you don't need a date right now, you're going to get rejected. And so it's that negative mentality that's speaking into him. They're speaking negative seeds into him, and then what it's doing is confusing him. And so, you know, those are the seeds that he sowed, because those are the only seeds that he knows. In order for him to get better and positive seeds, he has to change his company, and he has to start speaking better seeds and positive seeds. I'm gonna find a good woman. I'm not fearful. I'm fearless. I'm not afraid. I'm not gonna get rejected. This next one is gonna be the one. I know this is gonna be the one that God has out there for me. And you have to just keep speaking that. And it just takes repetition. And pretty soon you start to believe it. And you just keep saying it, and then it starts to manifest. So that's what I would say.
Well done. How can people get your book?
You can purchase my book on Amazon. You can purchase it in paperback as well as electronic. And you can also purchase it on Barnes & Noble online. And also, too, you know, while you're on the lines, you know, definitely connect with me. You know, I'm on Facebook at Shawn Watson. That's S-H-A-W-O-N. And my last name, Watson, W-A-T-S-O-N. And I'm also on Twitter, at Watson, Shawn on Twitter. Connect with me. You know, this is a perfect thing of networking with one another, you know, building friendships. And I'm really big on just helping people to get into their purpose. You know, so many of us have unwrapped gifts. And just allow me to encourage you to unwrap your gift.
Okay, you sounding like Mr. Les Brown now, because he has a thing, unwrap your infinite potential and walking in a purposeful life. So that is a good thing to do to help individuals. Because, you know, as much as we do in this realm of motivation and personal development, there are still so many people that have no idea who they are or whose they are. And they're stuck in life not knowing how to get to the next level because of what society dictated or the fact that they wound up in a turbulent relationship and they didn't know how to unravel their emotions from that. And they walked away bitter, broken, and bruised. And have altered their destiny because they allowed someone to strip them of the main ingredient called love and replaced it with unforgiveness, which is a tragedy in itself. You know, Shawn, we've been talking about the Trayvon Martin case over the last couple of weeks, and I just saw in the paper, heard on the radio yesterday that ironically in Sanford, again, this young man was pulled over and his name was Trayvon Williams. How ironic is that? And they pulled him over because they were doing random checks because they were looking for a bank robber, although his car didn't fit the profile and it was him. His girlfriend and her brother in the back seat. The trio didn't emanate anything as far as the bulletin that went out regarding the bank robber, but because they were profiled, they were pulled over. And it could have been something, you know, deadly, but because they acted in a certain manner, it didn't escalate into anything violent. But what they did was they handled it by, you know, get an attorney and said they're going to file charges because they had them face down on the ground, all three of them, with their hands cuffed behind their back because they thought while they were trying to find out who they were, that's how they had them. What would you say? Because, I mean, you're a young man and you're out there and trying to make a difference in life. Has anything like that ever happened to you, or what is your opinion regarding situations such as that affect us, you know, in civil cases?
No, I've never actually had anything like that happen to me, and I've never actually really known anyone who that's really happened to. I do think, you know, situations like that is a very unfortunate, you know, as far as things like that happening, you know, doesn't really make sense a lot of times when those things happen. And
Do you think that as much as we've advanced, that we've not advanced at all as it relates to us as young people, as a people?
I mean, I think we've come a long ways as you know, people, especially, you know, as African Americans. I just think that, you know, there are still some parts in the world where, you know, it's still the old school mentality of the way people are treated, and a lot of those places are still are behind, and, you know, it's tough for them to catch up to what the other parts of the world are doing.
Uh-huh. And where do you live at? What state are you in?
I'm actually in Houston. I'm actually in Houston, Texas, or outside of Houston, Texas.
Oh, okay. I'll be in Houston in September.
Okay.
With TWEF does an event every year with Dr. Deva Daltrey, so I'll be there the third week in September to the TWEF event there. So perhaps we'll have the opportunity of connecting. Once again, I am talking with Shawan Watson. He's the author of Kissing Your Heartache Goodbye. And I want to thank you, Shawan, for being so candid and sharing your experience of, you know, that relationship you were in and how you were able to, you know, bounce back.
Well, I just thank you.
With your life.
I just thank you for the opportunity of allowing me to come on and just connecting with me. And, you know, this is truly a blessing, and I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, and make sure you forward the show to some of your friends and post it on your Facebook so that individuals that didn't know about you will know even more about you. And who knows, you may even find your queen.
Well, I definitely, you know, appreciate it. And, you know, I will, you know, definitely, you know, keep in touch with you guys because, you know, God is doing some amazing things I have right now. If you can pray for me, I got some television talk shows and networks that I'm currently talking with right now about coming on and doing some things. One is in New York, and the other one happens to be in Florida. So I'm just waiting to see, you know, what happens, and we're in talks right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that a lot of people are reaching out to you as it relates to relationships?
To be honest with you, it's more me reaching out, but it's a little bit easier because a lot of times in the past when I used to reach out to people, you know, they would ask me a question like, you know, what have you done? What is your message? And I hadn't really done very much, and I didn't have a message, and I didn't have a niche. Now I've done this much. I can send people my bio. I've done this much, and then I can tell people what my message is and how I have a nice niche of relationships, because relationships are very broad. And at some point, I'm going to make it even broader. Start talking about men empowerment, and start talking about some of the challenges that men may face, you know. So it's a lot of different things, and as far as relationships, it's a very broad topic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're a perfect candidate to be a spokesperson, and I salute you in the work you're doing, and thank you for writing such a powerful book that I know will transform individuals' lives. Because, you know, we can talk, or Shirley can talk about relationships, but when they have when young people have someone in their age bracket, they'll receive it a lot better because they say, oh, yeah, he know where I'm coming from. Yeah, he know how it is. Because, you know, like me, when I said to you, oh, it was only 4 or 5 months, whereas, you know, in our age bracket, okay, we fall apart after it's been a year or 2 years. But as Shirley alluded to, and she wrote in her book that, it doesn't matter what age you are or the time frame. When you're in love, love does hurt when somebody does go away. So I thank you for being so candid and transparent once again. And where could they purchase your book?
Amazon, and they can also purchase it on Barnes & Noble's online.
Okay, thank you. That's Kissing Your Heartache Goodbye by Shawan Watson, Shawon Watson is the last name, W-A-T-S-O-N. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Shawan.
Thank you.
Okay, so Shirley, yes, we got kind of a busy show. It's almost, we got about 15 minutes left. And did you see that I posted on Facebook the article that was done with this young lady wrote about Jay-Z and Harry Belafonte, that Jay-Z made a comment basically saying that Harry Belafonte didn't know what he was talking about. As it relates, and the woman that wrote the article said that being that Harry Belafonte paved the way and sacrificed, and, you know, as far as racism and discrimination, what he basically said was that individuals like Jay-Z and these rappers and stuff, they degrade and females and have just kids going, doing all kind of erotic things when they didn't fight for the freedom for them, for just so that they can have the liberties to do that. And they're making all this money and not investing the money back into the communities the way they should, but yet further promoting sexual activities in the community.
And, you know, and not only that, is that how could you actually even begin to make such statements about Harry Belafonte when you really have not sit back and taken a look at comparing your life to him? Because you wouldn't be where you're at without people like Harry Belafonte, Cicely Tyson, Sidney Poitier. These people paved the way for so many of our young people, but they seem to have gotten disconnected because I feel that because of the multitude of money they've made over the years and everything, that it's taken their whole concept to a different level of understanding what it means to get to that point. Now, Jay-Z wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He had to work. He had to hustle in the streets. So for him to get to a point in his life where he's got all this money, that it seems that money has distorted his brain to a point that he feels like he's superior above most human beings. And what is he giving back? His biggest thing is how much money can he spend on himself and his family as far as his wife and his child and everything. He's got to have the biggest of everything. But he forgot where he came from. And that is the biggest issue that I personally have when a person becomes successful, that they forget where they came from. Not to mention they forgot who paved the way for them to be able to receive and who blessed them. They become an island. They forget.
You know, I've looked at rappers such as Ludacris and 50 Cent. As they matured and they became fathers, they repositioned their thought process, and so you don't see them out there doing a lot of things, and they became businessmen. And in doing so, the entrepreneur spirit, you know, kicked in, and they've been doing a lot of things in the community. I was really surprised because I wanted to know, what are they doing with their money? And, you know, when you see them acting on television and stuff and the shift that's taken, I mean, you could just see the maturity and the shift that's occurred in their lives. But when you have people that are just, you know, so flamboyant like Jay-Z to actually make a comment against Mr. Harry Belafonte, it just disgusted me. I have a caller holding 7906 or 8. You're live. 7906, you're live.
I'm sorry. Hello? I didn't hear you. Hi, this is Courtney. I'm sorry I didn't hear you call my number. I'm just thinking, with respect to our community, a lot of these kids, and I, you know, he's not really a kid, he's 40 or 40 plus, don't know your history. They don't know the history. And I don't know, I kind of had a little respect for Jay-Z, only just based off the fact that he, you know, came from the street to whatever you would consider or define success. However, these last couple of things that he's done, meaning with Mr. Belafonte, and then even when he went over to Cuba and came back and wrote a rap song saying, with the message that he had pulled in the White House, I'm really starting to wonder if he thinks he's God. And or, and I know that's being extreme, but I'm trying to figure out who he thinks he is. I think this, that generation, they just don't respect their elders, if you will. I remember watching a parade one year. I'm here in Los Angeles, California, and we have a Martin Luther King parade every year. And the news reporter asked the little baby, who is Martin Luther King? And she said she didn't know. So somewhere where there's a breakdown, and we got to figure it out, because, you know, when people do things and it's put out in the press, it sets precedence and it plants seeds that that's okay and it really isn't okay. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. So you believe that the breakdown is the fact that it's not being taught in our public schools or by the parents, the legacy of our ancestors or those that, like Mr. Belafonte and Cicely Tyson and individuals like Martin Luther King, you're saying it's not being taught. It's made of non-effect.
I don't think it has anything to do with not being taught in the schools, not even at home. I think that's more important than the schools, frankly. You think about the Jewish community, how their history is taught often, you know, so that whatever happened to them in the past, meaning the Holocaust, will never happen again. That's, they're taught that. They know their history. We don't necessarily teach our history. For whatever reason, my thoughts are that we shy away from our history.
Mm. Wow.
Wow.
Share with, wow. That, I mean, I'm just like speaking because that said, what you said was, it was actually very powerful because we're denying where we came from. We're denying the journey. We're denying the sacrifices.
I can give you case in point. My uncle just retired. He was the CFO of Boeing. And he, for the lack of a better area, I'll just say I think the south side of Chicago, because that's a poor area, correct? Just so that I don't have to give you the demographics in L.A. He said he hates that part of town and he'll never go back. Well, I think because of who he is, that's the perfect opportunity to go back and teach the kids, hey, you can do what I did. You don't have to stay here. So I agree with Shirley, and I'm sorry for not remembering your last name, Dr. Shirley.
Yep.
But I'm kind of thinking what she's saying, you know, once they make the money, it's not important to give back or to go back, when it really is. You can't, your history is who makes you. You can't get, it'll never go away. It's your history.
Hmm.
What we do, we shy away from it.
Deny the bridge that brought us. When you said that statement to Courtney, I thought about this movie where this young lady, she was born almost white looking, but she was actually black, and I could see her running behind that hearse calling her mama because her mama was dark skinned, so she did, like, rejected her mother. You know the movie, Shirley, I'm talking about?
Imitation of Life.
Imitation of Life. That's
Imitation
right.
of Life. That is it. When you said that, I saw that movie. coming before me. And I was like, that's why I was like, wow, that's powerful, because that's what I saw when you said that statement, the imitation of life. And those of you that are listening in and never heard it, of that movie, you need to rent it or, you know, see if it's on YouTube. But I doubt it, because something that powerful like that, you'd have to rent it. Because here again, it's like kind of exposing up, putting a mirror up to us as far as our history is concerned about the prices that were paid for us to be who we are. Mm-hmm. And that's the imitation of life. Thank you so much for sharing, Courtney.
Thank you.
I have caller holding 2175. You're live. 2175.
Hi, this is Marie.
Thank you so much for letting me to share. That is so powerful. That is one of the most powerful subjects that you all have, because we really and truly, I just said that last week, you know, same thing comes with voting. You know, we've stopped the kids from voting. You know, we've stopped, you know, the kids from doing, you know, a whole lot of things that they used to do. You know, like playing together, you know, like going, you know, skating rings and things like that, you know, bowling. You know, the kids don't even do that anymore, you know. And we really and truly need to get the kids back to doing some of the things together in order for them to be together and learn each other and learn about their selves and about their history and all the things they really, really and truly need to know. We have to put them back in perspective. You know, and even though, even though I don't have a child right now, and I have a grandchild, that she's 21 years old, but then I always, you know, try and talk to her about, you know, things like this and voting, you know, and she's into all of this, and she said, oh, Grandma, I love it, I love it, you know, and that makes me feel real, real good. You know, she's in the service, you know, and she's also going to college. And, you know, when we have those type of kids doing these type of things, it makes you feel good. But then it makes you feel bad when you see the next one is just sorry and just don't want to do anything. And then there's no way that you can, you know, like kind of pick them up or something like that, you know. So it's kind of hard today, but it's not as hard as it seems to be if we get together and we start trying to do the better things for the kids, even though we don't have any kids. Even though if we, you know, don't have any teenagers, we still, you know, should be able to start getting to where that, you know, we could start talking about things like this in the schools. And because, you know, when I was coming up, we had people to come in the school to talk to us about, you know, Martin Luther King, President Kennedy, you know, those type of people and things like that. So we really need to get back to, you know, to the basics. I would just say the basics. Thank you so much for letting me share that.
Thank you. You know, that is so true. There was a time where when you went on school trips, you went to museums, and you learned about your history at museums, and, yeah, you went to the zoo, but it was always historical sites. Now when kids go on field trips, they go into Fun Zone, Disney World, the stuff that's playful, nothing to educate them on who they are and give them an insight of things they should gravitate to, what their purpose and goal in life. Everything has always got to be fun, but nothing to empower and inspire the minds of our young people. And so, you know, here it is again, like Marie said, and we've been saying for the last 3 weeks, if we want things to change in our community, if we want to stop the racial profile, and if we want to see our community strengthen and support individuals like Shawan Watson that wrote this book here, then we've got to educate and expose them to our history and let them know about the sacrifices that were made. And although you fall down, you can always get up again. And it's just because you've been arrested, and some people have even been in prison, that does not mean life is over. Stop allowing yourself to be wrapped up in a pity party, feeling that you can't get to the next level in life ever because you made a mistake in life and you wind up in jail and you're out and society says you'll never be able to get a job, you'll never be able to do anything for yourself. That's why we have entrepreneurs. Everyone has a gift, a talent, a skill to be able to do something. And that's what you do and build your career with. Don't allow anyone to dictate you otherwise. Right, Shirley?
That's right. Because never let another person's opinion or you define who you are. You've got to learn to do that.
Do you have any closing comments for tonight? We've got about 2 minutes before the show is over. You want to comment on any of the things we discussed tonight?
I just really want to commend Shawn Watson on being able to rebound and within himself. And not just rebound, but the healing process that he's gone through and forgiven and then been able to put a book together with his experience at such a young age. I commend him for that, and I will be looking him up on Facebook and ask that our listeners support him and to get his book. And also ask him to support my book, Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man, which is available on BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, and they can get it off my website at ShirleyMCarter.com. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I invite you guys that are listening in to go to the website from thesoulofawoman.com and register for Soul Retreat 2013. It's September 13th and the 14th at the Marriott on Pompano Beach. It's two nights. It begins Friday night with a fashion show, singers, entertainers. Saturday we have personal development workshops with motivational speakers and authors. And we have our rap session, and we close out with the 70s party. So if you want to have some fun, be inspired, motivate, and celebrate with us with the 70s party, join me September 13th and 14th and visit my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. And also friend me on Facebook. Valerie Parker is on Facebook, so hit me up with a friend request, and you can stay connected with me and Shirley, Shawn, and any of my other guests to know what we're doing in our communities. And I have my back-to-school drive. So those of you that are listening in, and I know there's a lot of back-to-school drives going on with books and backpacks and stuff that people asking you to donate, but please support the Soul of a Woman. Go to my website from thesoulofawoman.com, even if it's $10, donate it for the back-to-school drive. We'll be passing out supplies to the children in about two more weeks. We've been able to do this for 4 years to service over 300 kids for school supplies. So if you would help me do that for the Soul of a Woman Foundation, I would greatly appreciate it. And also you can call me at 954-724-0900, and we could pay by credit card. I can process you, or you can go to my website from thesoulofawoman.com, and you can go under the foundation and do your donation there. And under events, to register for Soul Retreat 2013. Good night. God bless.
Good night.
And everyone have a powerful week.
Yeah.
Thank you.